That's beautiful. There's a little more than 20 people here today. This is different, but you know, that song, I was just thinking, we've had, in the past few days, we've had these cardinals, several male and female cardinals coming into our yard, and it's just really given a, just a peace. It's like the Lord just does things, you know, for you, and you just enjoy that. You know, I got a text from the pastor today, and he says, I'm praying for you, and he says, have a blast. So we're all going to have a blast here today. All right? Now, one thing, since I am not the pastor, and I'm just a fill-in preacher here, you won't have to be here too long. It's not going to take too long. So if you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch, you can go ahead and get ready. But I do have a message, and it is an important message that God's laid on my heart, and it's something we all need to be aware of. It's what I'm going to deal with here is from the Word of God is judgment. God loves us. God is love, but God is also going to be our judge. We all have an appointment sometime in the future, and it's not that far off, where we're going to face God. And the two things I want to emphasize this morning, and I'm gonna go down the line, but this is what all I want you to get out of this morning, is that He is going. Ultimately, He will judge us on our lives, and we have an individual relationship with Him. And it's not just like a mass crowd or anything. It's just God and us. When He created us, He created us uniquely. And that we have to, and He's our God, and He's going to bless us. So what I want to do is peruse down through history and look at how God has judged. And we're going to lead up. We all have an appointment. The first thing, let's look at in Genesis 3, 1 through, we're going to just do the whole chapter. You know, when the world started, when God created everything, everything was absolutely perfect. And this was, if you look at it, you know, we tend to, in this age, you know, we look at the universe and they talk about, oh, the earth's been here for billions of years and everything. We're only looking at about a 6,000 year history going back from where we are right now to the beginning. And when God created everything, everything was absolutely perfect. It was just sinless perfection. And what's amazing to me is how fast it changed. Let's look at chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He was right there in the beginning. He's right there to tempt her. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's already twisting God's words. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's true. They were going to be as little gods, knowing good and evil. This perfect world that was created, all of a sudden, the innocence is going to go away like that. And I'm just, you know, I've wondered, and I'm going to read this verse here. But I wonder, how long did it take? You know, Adam and Eve didn't have any kids. yet. I mean, I have a feeling this didn't take long at all. The devil was right there, and he was there to tempt her. In number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. This verse, look how big this book is. Let's just say this is about 6,000 years. This verse is the changed everything in history. Everything turned on this verse right here on a dime. Sin came into the world. And from that point forward, here we go. And all the suffering and all the death and all the heartache and everything, here it is. It's coming down the line. Just in this one instant. It's amazing. It's amazing how fast things can change. And there were consequences for this. God cannot tolerate sin. And there were consequences. And then it says, and they heard the voice in verse 8 of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called upon Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know what? And they made their little aprons out of leaves and everything. But God had to judge them. And this is the first consequences to sin, the first judgment. You know what? And even in all this, you know what? It strikes me here before we move on, because I'm just gonna take us real quickly down through history. What strikes me here, the love of God, when after all this happened, they'd made little leaves, little aprons out of the leaves and everything. And even after all this happens, he unto Adam also and to his wife, it says in 21, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them, because he still loved them, even though they'd sinned. It's amazing. Now let's move just a little further down. We're only going to go down about 1,000 years. Noah. What was going on here in this time? In just several generations, sin, there's just this rise and fall to human history. We rise, we rise and we can get right with God, but then it always, there's the downside, and it always comes. And this verse here, Noah, Genesis 6, 5 through 8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Absolutely. Just continual evil. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. And it repenteth me that I have made them. He was fed up. He cannot tolerate sin. One thing that strikes me also is God, he is a merciful God. He is merciful beyond measure. But simultaneously, he's holy. And he cannot tolerate sin. But, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All it took was, out of all this mass of sin, it took one man. And he found grace. And then in 7, we know what happened here. And God told him to build the ark and everything assembled in. And God destroyed the earth. He destroyed everybody, flooded the earth. 7:16. And they that went in, male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God took care of that, and he took care of them. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. The ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died. God is a holy God. God took care of everything. In the nostrils, in verse 22, was the breath of life, and all that was in the land, dry land, died. So that happens about 1,000 years later. So let's go down just a little bit further down the line. We're still here. Look at all this sin that's going on. We're still, this is just right in the beginning of history. I mean, we haven't even gotten to us yet. Let's look at Nimrod. Nimrod wanted to build the tower, build the tower that would rise to God. And who was Nimrod? You know what? Here you had Noah, and Nimrod was his grandson. I mean, think about it. How fast, how quickly in the generations that you can decline, sin can take over. Let's read Genesis 11, 5 through 9. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them. By the way, what does it mean, go to, let us go down? Who is us? It's God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's us from the very beginning. It was laid from the beginning. The whole plan of the fall and everything. God loves us. That's what we can get out of it. Ultimately, God loves us, but he is a holy God. The Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Wow. All right. God judged. God took care of business. God cannot tolerate sin. Let's go now to Genesis 19. We're still in Genesis. Genesis 19, verse 23. We're going to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning into the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. That those cities had, once again, sin had completely overtaken them. And, you know, it's in Abraham had asked the Lord, well, okay, what if there's 50 righteous people? What if there's 45? And it goes all the way down. Most of y'all know the story. And it goes all the way down to 10. Amen. And he still had to destroy it. The city was rotten. It was sin. That is the consequence of sin. So now in this we're looking at, this is about, we're 2,000 years, the Sodom and Gomorrah is about 2,000 years past the beginning, back to the Garden of Eden. Here we are, we're moving down the line. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 34. Oh, I'm dried up. You know what? All this mountain cedar, I've been taking something to dry up from the mountain cedar allergies, and it's got me thirsty. Not to mention being a little nervous. But Deuteronomy 34, verses 4 through 7. We're going to look now at Moses. This is the end of his time. There's consequences. Moses had disobeyed God. And we're going to look at 4 through 7. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thee. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over, because of his sin. God still loves him. He let him see it. He let him see it, but he's a holy God, and he had to take care of it. He had to judge that sin. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Now get this, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That just tells you that he had a little bit left in him, but it was time for him to die, according to God. And that's where he died. He could not go with them into the promised land. So now we're about 3,500 years ago. You know, in the grand scheme of things, if we're talking, you know, like eons and space-time continuum, Stephanie, you know, it's not that long. The children of Israel, let's look now. You know, the next thing was the children God created with Moses. The children of Israel had been created. His nation was created. And once again, God set them apart. He blessed them, but they went into the rise and the fall. They would get right with God and they'd get closer to God, but then they would decline, they would turn away from God, and then what happens? God can't take it. He can't take the sin, and he judges them. So that was established. And then after they wanted a king. They wanted a king because they were looking at the world. They were looking at the ways of the world, and it's like, yeah, we want our own king. So God said, okay, we'll give you a king. So they get a king. So then King Saul takes over. But then you get King Saul. He's in there for 40 years. And then King David is in there for 40 years. And then Solomon for 40 years. In just the span of 120 years from the time that they established a kingdom, it was divided. What is that, about two or three generations? It divided to the north and south kingdom. And then after that, they declined more, and then here come the invaders. The Assyrians, they're going to invade the northern kingdom and take them over, take them into bondage. The Babylonians are going to take over. That's another, they last longer. The southern kingdom lasts longer. But anyway, the bottom line is God judges them. God has to judge sin. He cannot tolerate it. And then Israel never returned to its glory and just kind of went along and it was in a decline. And we're coming up now for the next 400 and 500 years. We're coming up to the time of Jesus, the time that Jesus is born. And then all of a sudden, everything turns on a dime. What's causing all of this sin? Well, thank you, sir. Oh, this is cold. All right. That's awesome. Jesus changes everything. Let's turn to John 3. All right, that's Fiji water. Imported from Fiji. Now remember, there's two things I want you to get out of this. And we're not, this isn't going to last too much longer. So, you know, we'll just hang on. But I want you to get this point. God is going to judge us, and God, we have an individual, personal relationship with Him, just Him and us, and we're just responsible for us. John chapter 3, verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now I'm going to read John 3:16, the verse that we all know, we all love. So much, this is, everything's based on this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That first part of that verse is to everybody. It's all inclusive. But it changes gears in the second half. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a responsibility, and it's also, it's each individual person steps out and accepts and accepts Christ as their Savior and accepts eternal life. And then, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that are wrought in God. So everything changes here. Jesus comes. He lives a perfect life. He dies on the cross for us. This is the point in history where everything changes. He dies on the cross. The curtain is rent, the veil. And now, as we go forward now for the next, this is 2,000 years ago. This is, as we go into the next 2,000 years, up to where we are, we have the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. We have the law. We're not bound. The law is just a marker. Jesus, it's a relationship within us. And Jesus loves us. When we sin, He's there to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because we sin every single day. Yes, sir. Absolutely, from the time we wake up. But the bottom line is, though, we are still responsible. We can't just... We have to walk with Him and be aware and cultivate a relationship with Him to keep the sin from overtaking us. Like this morning in Sunday school, one thing that I thought about, Brother Rick, with your teaching, is It's a simple, simple thing, because I'm simple-minded. The less that I pray and the less that I read God's word, in other words, having a daily devotion time, the more susceptible I am to the wiles of the devil and the sin. It goes hand in hand. It's just when there's some excuse, well, I don't have time today. I've got to get out and do this. No, I should have woken up earlier. You know what? It there's a direct correlation there. Amen. And God is he wants us to have that fellowship with him. So now we're going to finish up here, and what I want to look at is the final appointment. The final appointment that we all have, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. And this, when I say that we all have, I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to everybody in here that's saved. If you're not saved, right at the tag end of this, I'm going to have something for you. But for those of you that are saved, this is the appointment, the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is our friend. Jesus loves us. But he's going to be our judge. I want you to just read this. I'm going to read in Revelation, the first chapter. John, what John says about seeing Jesus. Oh, and one thing. Jesus, God said, I think it was in John. Anyway, all judgment is given to the Son. He's the one that's going to do all the judging. Here we go. Let's look at Revelation 1:7-17. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned, this is John, excuse me, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt with the paps about with a golden girdle. Now, John loved Jesus. He was with him all the time for 3 years, and he knew Jesus personally. He knew him as a friend. He was his Lord and Master, but he was a friend. When they would eat, he would lay his head on Jesus' breast. He loved him intimately. He had a human connection with him, because God at that moment, he was man. But now, look at what Jesus looks like. This is the same Jesus. It's the same loving Jesus, but this is him in glory. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And look what John says. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right. I love this part. Listen to this. He fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not.
I am the first and the last. That's God. That's Jesus' love shining out through that.
So, here we are. Let's look at Romans 14. Let's look at the judgment seat of Christ. Can I have some of you teenagers come up here and help me? You don't have to do a thing. Would y'all mind coming up here just for a minute? All you got to do is stand here. There's no pressure, no performance. Just stand here and be people. When we get there to the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be like, well, okay, here, bring in the next group. You know, there's going to be a big group coming through, and Jesus is going to judge a whole bunch of groups, and it's going to be independent. So it's not going to be like, well, you can kind of, I don't know if I quite want to see the Lord, you know, face to face. It's not going to be like this. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Turn them off. This is what it's going to be. Just imagine that is the throne. Jesus is there. It's just going to be me and him. That's all. Nobody else. It's all going to be about what I did for him. And a whole lot of my life, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's coming. It's coming for all of us. That is what, that's the final appointment. That's what we're heading towards, is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, praise the Lord. We don't have to go to hell. Thankfully. You can turn them back on now, Dave. Thank you. Let's read about the judgment seat of Christ here. My throat is dry. If y'all don't mind, I need another swig of water. Romans 14, 10 through 12. Why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set it not thy brother? For ye shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore, get this part. You remember what John saw when he got there and how Jesus looked in all of his might and glory? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You know what? The bottom line is, when we stand before him, what's going to matter? Everything, all the things that we've accomplished in this life are all just going to be burned away. The only thing that's going to be left is just what we did for him. And he, being God, it's not just what acts did you do. It's going to be, what were your motivations? What was going on in here and in here? He's going to be able to distill all that down. And we just need to know that that appointment's coming, and that appointment is coming soon. Amen. So to sum up, and I'm going to read one more chapter, and this is, if all, everybody in here is saved, praise the Lord. I just wanted, God just laid this on my heart that we just need to be aware of this, and we need to just know that this is what's coming down the line. But if, perchance, there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus as Savior, you need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to read Revelation 20, and we're done. And this is a frightening chapter if you're not saved. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I don't know why he needs to be loosed, but I'm not going to question God. It's God's plan. It says he must be loosed. So, and I saw thrones. Get this. We're in another place here. And they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's given you all. You know, I would think some of those, or a lot of them, if if they would have renounced Christ, just said, no, you know what, actually, now this is all crazy. I don't really believe any of that. They might have been able to keep their heads. But hey, what would that accomplish? These ones that have lost their heads, they absolutely gave it all. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea. Here we go with Gog and Magog again. This is 1,000 years down the road after the tribulation. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven out of God and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Period. There's the end of the devil. Now, these last several verses. If you have any doubt in your heart or mind whether you know Jesus or not, listen to this. I saw a great white throne. We just talked about the judgment seat of Christ. Now, here's another one. This is the great white throne. This is the final judgment. And him that sat on, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. You do not want to be judged according to your works. You don't. And it's too late for these people. the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And all of us here that are born again, we're all written in the book of life. And this final verse, and I'm done. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we have an appointment, and we should just be aware of it. Just be aware of what's coming up, and if we're really aware of it and we keep that uppermost in our mind, it'll change the way we live. So praise the Lord. Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word does not return void. I thank you that you laid the plan out from eternity past. And I thank you that you created all of us. You created me. And in eternity past, you created the way that we could be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.